It's Wednesday, the 13th of June, 2018, and this is your EV News Daily. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. A very warm welcome from London in the UK. Here is today's news about electric cars and the future of transport. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV article online so you don't have to. Coming up on today's show, almost 7% of BMW sales are electrified. And what are Porsche doing in terms of designing you an app, whether or not you own a Porsche? We'll find out. But first of all, the big breaking news of yesterday was just before midday on the west coast of the US. Elon Musk sent an email to all Tesla employees with some big news. And for many, bad news. 9% of employees are being laid off. Some of those have been spoken to Monday, Tuesday earlier this week, and those affected will be spoken to over the course of the week. I've taken out some edited highlights of the Elon Musk email because it's on just about every website that you can have a look at if you want to read the whole thing. But here are the key paragraphs I've taken out from his email that he sent to staff, and it is this. We are conducting a comprehensive organizational restructuring across the whole of our company. Tesla has grown and evolved rapidly over the past several years, which has resulted in some duplication of roles. We've made the difficult decision to let go approximately 9% of our colleagues across the company. No production associates were included, so this will not affect Model 3 production. This week, we're informing those whose roles are impacted by this action. We made these decisions by evaluating the criticality of each position, whether certain jobs could be done more efficiently and productively, and by assessing the specific skills and abilities of each individual in the company. We have decided not to renew our residential sales agreement with Home Depot in order to focus our efforts on selling solar power in Tesla stores and online. I would like to thank everyone who is departing Tesla for their hard work over the years. Tesla is providing significant salary and stock vesting proportionate to length of service to those we're letting go. Tesla will continue to hire outstanding talent in critical roles. There is still a significant need for additional production personnel. We are a small company in one of the toughest and most competitive industries on Earth, and yet, despite our tiny size, Tesla has already played a major role in moving the auto industry towards sustainable electric transport and moving the energy industry towards sustainable power generation and storage. We must continue to drive that forward for the good of the world. Thanks, Elon. Well, there's the news and some initial thoughts on that coming from the big EV blogs and also my own personal thoughts as well. Well, first of all, would be one of my thoughts, and I would say spare a thought for those involved. With Tesla, by some accounts, having 37,000 employees as of the end of last week, then almost 10% of the workforce, say 9%, that's 3,500 people, are losing their jobs this week. I mean, the comment section of nearly every website is a dangerous, wild west place to go. But I saw so many people saying phrases like, they're trimming the fat, getting rid of the dead weight. Look, these are people. 3,500 people is my estimated number. Plus, minus, maybe, I don't know, 500, right? That's people going home telling their husbands and wives and children and partners, or people with credit card debt and mortgages and rent to pay, they've just lost their job. So how about we all just raise the bar a little bit, just be classier, internet. Well, some other thoughts: that Tesla has grown significantly with the acquisition of SolarCity. Of course, remember, they took that on and all of their debt as well. In the last year, some reports say that Tesla grew by 10%. So trimming 9% is still, you know, net increase in employees over the last 12 months. Others have said, others that I've read in the last couple of hours, experts on startup culture, when you hire quickly, you also have to have the confidence to fire quickly, which sounds nice as a quote, right? But it sucks if you're one of the ones getting fired. It's really hard on the morale of remaining employees as well. Even when I've been through something similar where handfuls of people went, it is so tough. And also, I would finally say, if you're listening to this in any part of the world where I don't know your employment laws, cannot be done here. Cannot be done. We don't have unions, by the way, in the industry I work in. I work in the media industry. There are maybe some journalists that are part of a union, but largely I don't work in a unionized industry. Cannot happen. your role can be put at risk, and then you go through a long process of working out whether your role is needed. And I gather, and I'm no expert on this, please correct me in the comments or email me, I gather in the US, you can literally, someone can come to work the next day and you can tell them, you're not needed tomorrow. I think that's the way it works. And that, wow, man, that's pretty sucky. I know we've got it good. I mean, we get like 4 or 5 weeks paid holiday as well and all those kind of things. Like, I know that's not the same everywhere around the world. So the reaction to this story will continue. All I would say is when you're reading those stories over the next day and next couple of days, bearing in mind the agenda of the writer and the publication behind it, you know this already, but there's certain people that will talk Tesla up and they'll talk them down again. And it on balance, it seems like it's a sensible thing to do at this stage. No production roles are being cut. And over the last few weeks and months, from those recent earnings call to other things that Elon has said, they have talked in vague terms about a restructuring. In particular, he has mentioned a couple of times, including that TV interview he did where they let Gail King all around the factory. I think it was in that interview, I'll dig the audio out, where he talked about many, many layers of middle management at Tesla which have been added in, and he saw as a negative in terms of fast and efficient communication, with lots of people covering their backs and justifying their jobs and not actually doing anything. Well, we'll follow that story over the next 24 hours and bring you an update tomorrow. Right, moving on to Daimler and talking about follow-ups. This is a follow-up to the story yesterday about Daimler having a potential recall. I said on the show yesterday, I hope that it wasn't true. And I was being careful what I was saying because let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Yeah, that didn't last long. Daimler have confirmed they will be doing a massive recall of diesels. Mercedes-Benz Vito commercial vans, the C220D, the GLC 220D vehicles in Europe, all affected by the diesel recall. In total, 774,000 vehicles are being recalled, with up to 5 control devices reportedly found. There's an interesting case of whether they're legal or not. However, they're being recalled so that they can reprogram that software and that the emissions, particularly the NOx emissions, are not being affected by any particular software controls. Now, something that maybe my North American friends and listeners might find interesting, VW, where you listen, were fined, massive fine for these so-called cheat devices, and criminal cases followed as well. Here in Europe, legally, VW did nothing wrong. And I should point out, I imagine as well, Daimler have done nothing wrong. You see, because, as far as I understand it, because Europe, or the European law, we never thought anybody would actually do what they did, there's no actual specific law to break. Therefore, they've not broken the law. Even if what they've done is be pretty brazen, they've gamed the system, they've bent the moral rules rather than break them. However, almost 1 million vehicles from Daimler being recalled. Whatever the situation, it just creates, and this is the reason I talk about it on an EV podcast, it creates more bad headlines for diesel because headline writers are enormously binary. Good or bad, black or white. Daimler, bad. Diesel, bad. Oh my goodness, big recall. And that filters through in terms of what people see and hear and goes hand in hand with government policy and ministers seeing that and going, well, we better react to this. And it's a snowball effect. It's a good thing for electric cars. It's a bad thing for any diesel owners looking at their used values dropping. If there is a silver lining to all of this and Daimler yesterday and Dieselgate with VW, it is that it's moving EVs up the priorities of those lawmakers. Well, staying in Germany, but good news for Daimler's rival, BMW, where almost 7% of their sales are now electrified. Electrified vehicles accounted for nearly 7% of BMW and Mini models sold in the US in the first 5 months of the year, and more than 7% of BMW and Mini sales here in the UK. That's according to Green Car Congress. Excellent article, recommend reading the full thing. They say that in some markets, electrified vehicles account for more than half of all BMW and Mini sales. Examples being Norway and Malaysia. Well, the BMW Group said it remains well on target to achieve its aim of selling more than 140,000 EVs this year. I mentioned on the show recently that BMW was investing in its Leipzig plant as well. That's where the i3 is made and the new i3S. And they're increasing production there by more than 50% by the end of the year. Well, Porsche, depending on your own flavour of how you say it, want to take or they want to make your login to different charging providers easy, and actually all these different logins and cards to become a thing of the past with one single unified app. Now, the new service, the new app, searches for all the suitable charging stations in your vicinity or on the map of where you're going if it's a long journey, and it uses some centrally stored data to handle all the payment side of it. That works across multiple countries if you're doing a road trip, and currencies, so you don't even worry about that. I think tech people call it frictionless. Well, information about the location and availability of charging stations, as well as the cost of charging a vehicle, are all available in real time via this new Porsche app. Once you get to the charging pedestal, you identify yourself either on a QR code or via the app, your Porsche ID card, which they will send you. Now, the user will receive all those details free of charge after you register. The charging service is currently available now. It's now working in Germany, Austria, Switzerland, Denmark, the Netherlands, Belgium, and Finland. And the service will gradually expand to other countries by the end of 2018. Now, the app is available for all your mobile devices, iOS and Android. Go to the App Store or Google Play, and it can be downloaded now. The service, in principle, is open to any driver of any hybrid, plug-in hybrid, or EV vehicle. It is not limited to Porsche vehicles. And that's the interesting thing. No doubt it'll be used by a ton of Porsche owners, but I'm going to go and download it now and see what it's all about. There's one app. The app looks after all of the charging, whatever charging post I come up to. It'll tell me in real time all of the details before I get to the charging post that I need to know. And then it'll work out the cost of that, and it will just work out all the billing centrally. Never have to worry about it. That is a brilliant advantage. Well, moving on, and Charged EVs has some more good news for those who think the EV infrastructure might be lacking. New Jersey's Public Service Enterprise Group, the state's largest utility, has revealed some fantastic plans to invest $300 million US dollars in the smart EV infrastructure and $100 million in utility-scale storage and $2.5 billion in energy efficiency. Well, the company is filing the plan with the State Board of Public Utilities later this year. Big infrastructure investment going on in New Jersey. Well, over to China. And last year, Chinese customers purchased nearly 600,000. I'll say it again, 600,000 EVs. Out of a total EVs sold in the world of 1 million. Well, that took the total number of EVs on the road to over 3 million. And last month in May, well, China showed no appetite for slowing down. Sales of electric and gasoline electric hybrids rose a massive 126% over the same month earlier. Well, throughout May, sales of electrics and hybrids rose 142% to 328,000 for the first 5 months of the year. And looking at the rate of increase as the year goes on, at this rate, Chinese buyers, if that rate does increase, could do 1 million EVs this year alone. Well, Vauxhall, or Opel, depending on where you're listening to this, have a new electric car and a new release date and a new release design revealed in a leaked picture. I think it was leaked. Sometimes these things get leaked on purpose, but I think it might not have been quite ready for an announcement. But it was in today's EV press. Vauxhall's confirmed it's going to be building a new electric car, the eCorsa. Now, the Vauxhall / Opel manufacturer announced the name for the new EV today, alongside plans to introduce a new version of the standard combustion engine Corsa, reports the Express. From an image leaked of what appears to be the new eCorsa, the car's going to have this bold new design. It retains the overall shape of the little city car. Looks about the same size, but has an extensively updated front end. This includes a completely reimagined bumper, shorter but taller bonnet, and a totally redesigned grille. And of course, on the EV version, the grille will be sealed off because you don't need any of the cooling. Well, as the car doesn't need a traditional grille to cool that battery, those smooth curves are going to look great with the Vauxhall badge fixed right in the middle of the grille. No word yet on the battery or the motor specs or indeed any pricing. Well, Matthias Schmidt, who I follow on Twitter, and is a real insight into things like sales figures and stuff. He tweeted that the Kia Soul is going to become BEV only, pure electric only here in Europe. According to the AID newsletter data, about 5,500 of the 12,000 sold in Europe last year were the pure electric version. It's almost half were the pure electric version of the Kia Soul. 3,000 of those, though, were registered in Germany and then, he says, likely exported to Norway as part of the 3,000 Soul EV Norwegian used imports in the last year. Well, I've said before, I'm a big fan of Pedro Lima at Push EV's blog. Doesn't blog too often, but when he does, it's always brilliant and insightful, and he's turned his attention to LG Chem, which makes not only batteries, but motors and inverters, and now onboard chargers. In Europe, three-phase onboard chargers are soon going to become the standard, and LG Chem's acknowledged it by making 11 kilowatts a variant now, available from their themselves. They can supply the batteries, the motors, the inverters, and if you want, LG Chem will also supply with you the onboard charger that now charges natively up to 11 kilowatts at charge speed. You can imagine actually that the next step is going to be 22 kilowatts, and once you get to that as an onboard charger, well, you combine that with some DC fast charging at 100 kilowatts, and really wherever you go then, you can pretty much guarantee you're going to be charging your car at some very, very healthy rates, whether you can find a DC fast charger or not. Great news, more great progress from a company famous for batteries, but some more as well. Well, as for where you can then charge your car, if you've ever been frustrated by turning up to find all the bays full, not even iced, but just full of EV charging, and I know that was the case over the weekend just gone with Fully Charged Live. Lots of people, I mean, hundreds, thousands maybe of EVs turning up in one place. It was obviously always going to happen. Maybe the solution is to have a trip to Switzerland. A brand new innovation centre is going to be opening in Switzerland, and they are going to feature more than your average charging points. They're going to have 280 charging points for the EVs that turn up at this innovation centre on a daily basis, including 60, what they call superchargers. And I'm just digging into that. Do they mean a 60-bay Tesla supercharger? I don't think so, because the biggest one in the world's in China, and that's 50. So I think what they probably mean by that is 60 rapid chargers. Anyway, energy requirements for the hub are expected to hit 20 megawatt hours a year within just 10 years, equivalent of what you would need to power 5,000 average households. The energy is going to be fully supplied by local solar, hydropower, and wood burning fuel. And some people say wood burning fuel is, well, I don't go into that debate. Some say it's carbon neutral because trees grow again and absorb the CO2. Anyway, it's a big debate. Probably come down on the side of that we shouldn't be cutting down trees. But anyway, moving on, and a new pioneering technology to ensure a next gen of safe, high powered EV batteries can be charged by drivers in ultra fast time. It's just one of 12 innovation projects to get the green light from the government in the UK's Faraday Battery Challenge. Well, the Power Drive Line project is being led by Southampton-based company Ilika, and they're focusing on solid-state battery cell development. In particular, how to manufacture at scale, particularly in the UK, and then how to build ultra-fast charging technology to charge those solid-state batteries in less than 25 minutes to get a full charge. Well, in total, the UK government are investing £22 million in grants being rewarded to various consortia all around the UK as part of the latest round of funding through the Faraday Battery Challenge, part of the UK government's Industrial Strategy Challenge Fund. I mean, it is great. Not going to turn my nose up at £22 million. But you look at some of the investments being made around the world, and it's not the biggest. Well, the final story comes via Waste Management World website. It is my favourite Waste Management website, if I'm honest with you. I used to prefer Waste Management Digest, but it got rubbish. Well, a trial of the UK's first fully electric waste collection truck has begun in the city of London. And I will explain if you don't know, that London, the place London, has inside it the City of London, which is the financial district. And inside that bit, in the City of London, the trial for electrified waste management will last for 2 months, and the vehicle, they've only got one they're using, will also be trialled in two other UK cities later this year. So all these little things going on all around the world. as more and more interest is being taken in EVs, and you take an interest, and so do I. And if you know someone who would also take an interest, please share the podcast with anybody who you think might be interested. And if you're interested in all the previous ones, well, they're all on iTunes and Google Play and Spotify and YouTube and TuneIn and Stitcher and iHeartRadio podcasts and evnewsdaily.com. If you subscribe, well, then you get them first and free and automatically. If you want to rate and review, it really helps me out. And if you want to say hi on the socials, just search for EV News Daily. Have a really wonderful day, and I'll catch you tomorrow.